So open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 40. Your Schofield Bible, page 57. Reading verses 20 through 23 of Genesis chapter 40. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read these four verses responsively. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among the servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And the text verse is that 23rd verse. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful to Thee for this church. You've given us a great church. You've given us a wonderful book. You've given us a great man of God. And we have all the pieces in place for the kind of service that would honor Thee and please Thee. Help it to be so through the power of Thy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we give Thee praise and thanksgiving for this wonderful church, this beautiful music tonight, and now for the book. We come to the thing that all is built around, the book, and the preaching of that book. Bless us tonight as we speak from the book. In Jesus' name, amen. I found it difficult to know I found it. I found it difficult to know exactly where to place this sermon tonight. I tried to, in my mind, place it as a sermon to preach on a Sunday morning. And then I thought, no, it's more like a Sunday night sermon. Then I thought it's more like a Sunday morning sermon. Now, I don't believe that Sunday morning sermons and Sunday night sermons are all a bit different, except here we have to be that way. If I want to clean your plow, I've got to do it on Sunday night, because the worst sinners we have are not here Sunday morning. They're working in other departments and so forth. Our bus workers and some of our college students and so forth. And so I usually, if I'm going to try to correct something, I have to do it on Sunday night. And also, there are two other reasons why I had reluctant to bring this message. I've had it prepared for a long time. One is, I like to do two things in a message, one or two things. I either like to preach what I think would be a sermon that would be inspirational to you, or a sermon that would be informational to you. And the sermon I'm going to speak and bring tonight is so simple, I'm almost ashamed to bring it out. But it ought to be said. What I'm going to say tonight ought to be said. And so I'll say it because I feel like it should be. Follow me carefully. Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers. You know the story. He had gone to Egypt and there had been tricked and was placed in prison. In the prison where Joseph was also the chief butler. Through interpreting a dream, Joseph made it possible for the butler to be released from prison. Before the butler left prison, Joseph, since he had interpreted his dream, he asked the butler if he would to place a good word to the king of Egypt on Joseph's behalf that he might be released himself. The butler made a promise that he would. Speak a good word to the king in an effort to get Joseph released. In fact, he vowed the first thing he'd do would be to speak a good word for Joseph. Day by day, he postponed speaking that word to the king until finally we come to our text. And this is a sad text because Joseph had done so much for the butler. It says, yet did not the butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Sad statement. Do you ever wonder why David was called a man after God's own heart? David certainly wasn't the best man in the Bible. And yet he has had the privilege of being called for the only person in the Bible called this a man after God's own heart. You ever wonder why? I have. I do not know why God called David a man after his own heart. It just may have been that David never forgot. For example, he called his men together one time, and he said, "Is there any here in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" He never forgot the friendship of Jonathan. And after Jonathan was dead, David remembered him and even did something for one of his own because he wanted to do it in honor and respect and appreciation for Jonathan. Another story. When Saul died, King Saul died, the Philistines cut off his head. They stripped his armor off and sent it to all parts of the country for celebration. And then nailed his body to a wall in a place, I think, called Bethsan or Bethsan. And his body was nailed to the wall there, and his armor was distributed to all the parts of the country. Tidings came to Jabesh and Gilead across the Jordan, way across Jordan, and these men in Jabesh Gilead, risking their lives, went all night, removed the body of Saul, took it to Jabesh and Gilead, and there they fasted 7 days around the body of King Saul. Now, why did these men risk their lives to get the body of King Saul? Because many years before, Saul had saved them from the hands of the Ammonites. And they had not forgotten what Saul had done. Tonight, I call to your attention the importance of remembering what people have done for you. None of us is self-made. I'm not a self-made man. You're not a self-made man. Every once in a while, some idiot in Howells Anderson College would get up and say to our students, "Be yourself. Be yourself." If you were yourself, you'd kill somebody before sundown. Now, the truth is, nobody can be himself. The Apostle Paul said, I only can speak the things which I've seen and heard. I'm a collection of all the things that people have invested in me, and so are you. But now, follow me carefully. The tragedy is, we, like the butler, have not remembered, but we have forgotten. Ask a question. How long has it been since you wrote a letter of gratitude to somebody that meant something to you over 10 years ago? I'm going to skin everybody's hide tonight. How long has it been? Those of you who are saved under the ministry of Pastor Miller, he's in heaven now, but how many of you wrote him in probably the 25 years between the time he left here and the time he went to heaven? Mrs. Miller, who once was the first lady of this church, is now in a senior citizen's home in California. How many of you have written her a letter? How many of you have given her a phone call? You see, most of us are like the butler. Joseph was a part of getting the butler released from prison. And Joseph said to the butler, "Don't forget me now, speak a good word." And the butler came and said, "I'll do that," made a promise to do so, but he forgot to do it. The Bible says he did not remember his promise to Joseph, but forgot his promise. I haven't forgotten. And by the way, you heard me preach here through these years, you know I haven't forgotten. I haven't forgotten Mrs. Bethel that put me on her knee when I was 5 years old in a little beginner Sunday school class. And my little bare feet sticking out under my khaki trousers that had patches on each knee. My little white T-shirt with my shoulders sticking out, both the shoulders of the T-shirt. Other little boys and girls, and I won't go into the story, but Mrs. Bethel put me on her knee and she said, "Jackie boy, Jesus loves you." I haven't forgotten that. I've made Mrs. Bethel famous. The name Mrs. Bethel is known all over the Christian world. Why? Because I haven't forgotten. I haven't forgotten Mr. Bethel, her husband, who was my first Sunday school teacher. As a boy in a boys' class, I had him walk right through that door just a couple of years ago and honored him. Good night, 60 some odd years after he taught me. I hadn't forgotten him. We honored him at pastor school. I haven't forgotten Pat Proctor Boyd, the older brother of evangelist Joe Boyd, Proctor Boyd was my hero when I was a teenage lad. He was the best Sunday school teacher I ever had. Everybody that knows me has heard me talk about Proctor Boyd. Everybody's heard me preach 50 times has heard me talk about Proctor Boyd. I haven't forgotten. When Proctor Boyd was near death, he was in a rest home. I went down to Texas, and I went to that rest home and walked in. He barely recognized me, but he cried like a baby when I told him that he was my favorite Sunday school teacher. I haven't forgotten. Ask you a question. Have you forgotten? How long has it been since you wrote a Sunday school teacher a letter? How long has it been since you wrote somebody that told you about Jesus a letter? Or called them on the phone? Or went to them personally and said, I want to thank you for what you mean to me? I haven't forgotten Dr. Rutherford, who taught me as a teenage boy. Dr. Rutherford stood before our class with tears rolling down his cheeks Sunday after Sunday. And he said, I'm not going to lose a one of you boys. I'm not going to lose a one of you boys. I've never forgotten Sam Montgomery, whose hand was covered by a black glove. Hey, an executive at the Texas Power and Light Company, our NIPSCO, back in those days, standing with that black glove at the bottom of his sleeve of his coat, with one good arm and one bad arm. That well-to-do man, well-educated man, standing and teaching me the Word of God. I haven't forgotten. Haven't forgotten Mrs. Howard, my superintendent as a high schooler in Hillcrest Baptist Church. Haven't forgotten Mr. Howard, who taught me a while in Sunday school and walked by our house every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night on the way to church. I haven't forgotten Mr. Skeeter, who also was one of my Sunday school teachers. Ladies and gentlemen, there are thousands tonight of Mrs. Bethels, Mr. Bethels, Proctor Boyd's, Dr. Rutherford's, and Mrs. Howard's out there who have been forgotten. Now, the truth is, they sit in lonely rooms if they're still living. Some sit in rest homes. Some are marooned to an island of a sick room. And the truth is, you sit here a recipient of their hard work, and you have a one time. But we have folks in this room tonight who taught you. They sacrificed for you. They came to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and taught you in Sunday school. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time the people of God quit being like the butler who forgot Joseph, who let him out of prison. Thank God tonight for those people that helped make me whatever I am tonight. And I must not forget them, and you must not forget them. I'd like to see hundreds of people get letters because of the sermon tonight. I'd like to see hundreds of people hidden away somewhere, exiled to a bed, to a sick room, hear their telephones ring, and hear a voice say, 30 years ago, you taught me in Sunday school. Or 10 years ago, you taught me in Sunday school. And by the way, let me say this too. You boys and girls that misbehave in Sunday school ought to be ashamed of yourselves. I said you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You junior hires that misbehave, you punkos that misbehave in Sunday school. Somebody ought to take a 2x4 and put a 16-pin nail on the end of it and beat the tar out of you. I'm trying to say you ought to thank God somebody's willing to put up with you and do what they can to teach you. Thank God tonight I haven't forgotten my Sunday school teachers. I haven't forgotten Brother McElroy, that big Joe Boyd-sized fella who was my pastor when I was a boy. Hadn't forgotten the day when I was a boy, 10 years of age, almost 11, standing up on the pew while Brother McElroy prayed. And Brother McElroy began his prayer that morning and said, Dear God, save Jackie Boy. Help Jackie Boy to come to Christ. For I was the oldest kid in the church that hadn't been saved yet. The reason I wasn't saved yet, I was scared to get baptized. I was scared of water. And I still am. I couldn't swim from here to John Colston, because I don't want to get close to John Colston. But Brother McElroy said, Dear God, save Jackie Boy. I looked around and figured out who he was praying for, and that godly pastor prayed for a little boy not quite 11 years of age. Save Jackie Boy. And then I got saved, by the way, within just a few hours after that. Brother McElroy, my father, threw a beer party for some of his relatives, and we lived next door to the preacher. And my dad threw a beer party on the back porch. Guess what Brother McElroy preached on the next Sunday? He preached on some neighbors of his that had a beer party. He skinned my daddy and our relatives to that, just sort of like you know who would do it. And I thank God tonight Let me go Forrest McElroy. He was my first preacher. He baptized me. He baptized my mother. When he was near death, I made a special trip to go see him. He put his big old hands on me. He's in his 70s. Put his big old hands on me and tears streamed down his cheeks. He said, "Jack, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you." I haven't forgotten J.C. Sizemore. J.C. Sizemore was my pastor when I was a teenager. He got to be... Well, he married Mrs. Hiles and me. He ordained me. He licensed me. He taught me more Bible than anybody that's ever lived taught me. Before Brother Sizemore passed away, I was preaching down in northwest Texas. I went to his house. He wasn't home. He was down at the church. His son pastored. And he was 90 years of age. And I went there. And Brother Sizemore was there. And he remembered me. But he went to the washroom. Couldn't find the washroom. By the way, I had him here. He was not able to preach because he was getting senile. But he taught my Sunday school class. Stood right over here. Right there. When this wall was right here. And taught my Sunday school class. And spoke on heaven that morning. And not long after he went to heaven, I gave him an $800 love offering for just teaching my Sunday school class that morning. And Brother Sizemore looked at me and tears rolled down his cheeks over here in this hotel on North Hammond. And he said, "I never have gotten that much money for preaching anywhere in my life." I hugged that little man and said, "Brother Sizemore, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. And by the way, there are a heap of people in this world. You wouldn't be there if it hadn't been for them. How long has it been since you said thank you? Are you like the butler? A guy gets you out of jail and you say, 'I'll just speak a good word for you.'" But he forgot Joseph. There are literally hundreds of Brother McElroy's and Brother Sizemore's out there tonight. Some pastoring little country churches, they don't have all the people I have. I've probably gotten 75 notes today saying thank you for the sermon this morning, or thank you for being a blessing, or thank you for your hard work, or I heard you're going on vacation. I'm glad you're going. Please don't come back. Little notes like that. Sweet little notes. And today alone. But ladies and gentlemen, there are country preachers out there preaching their hearts out, as faithful as I am, who preach that book and love that Savior and preach the gospel of grace. Nobody ever says thank you. No letters ever under their door. Some of you folks ought to go home tonight and get on your knees and ask God to forgive you for forgetting those who made you what you are. Pick up that telephone. Call some old pastor somewhere and thank him he got you saved. And thank him that he baptized you. And thank him for teaching the Bible to you. You have no idea what it means to some of these old saints of God to get somebody simply to say thank you. I haven't forgotten the deacons with whom I've served. I haven't forgotten Deacon Wood Armstrong, first deacon I had. Little short guy, about 5'4". You saw him here. He's here several times. Haven't forgotten him. I brought him here as a guest. He sang for us here from behind, you might call it singing, from behind this pulpit. He testified here. Several times I brought him here and honored him. First deacon I had, little old Morris Chapel Baptist Church with 19 members. Listen, I wonder how many preachers never think of the deacons that have stood beside them. Boy, I thank God I cut up about deacons a lot, because there are some like Pearson up here. But there are also some good ones. But I think I cut up about deacons. But I want to say this. I want to thank God tonight for the deacons I've pastored through these many years. I haven't forgotten Wood Armstrong. That little Miss Howes and I were on a little vacation one time down, and we drove up to Morris Chapel. And I wanted to find Wood Armstrong. Couldn't find him. He had moved. Couldn't find him. Finally, somebody said he's out in the field working. I drove down a country road, and there he was out in the field. I called him over. It's been years since he'd seen me. I called him over. Hey, sir, would you help me, please? He walked over, looked at me, didn't know who I was. He couldn't tell. I'd changed so much. And he said, what is it, sir? And I said, where could a fellow find some good whiskey around here? Some homemade home brew. He said, you're Jack Hiles, aren't you? I hadn't forgotten him. He hadn't forgotten me either. haven't forgotten that old deacon, L.G. Eales, one-legged deacon. Didn't have a wooden leg. He had a crutch. And his leg was cut off about here. He'd stick that old leg up while I was preaching on a pew like that. He'd stick that old false leg up there. And I'd cut loose and preach, heal the dead, cast out the sick, and raise some devils, you know. And he'd, on that very building out there. Boy, it's comfortable here. So he'd raise that old foot up, and he'd start doing it like that, round and around and around and around, like that. For you folks over here, round and around and around like that. And I'd keep on preaching. And we had wood floors, same thing we got out there now at that Grange Hall Church at the college. And he'd start waving that leg around on that wood floor. And pretty soon, boy, he'd hit that floor and shake that. Amen! Just like you deacons don't. And I haven't forgotten LG's. Went to heaven not long ago. You met him. We're down there one time on a trip. You met him out in the front porch. And later on met his wife. I haven't forgotten him. By the way, every time I went to East Texas, I went by to see old L.G. Eales to tell him I love him. Listen to me, folks. The world is full of people tonight who have influence of people in this room. I'm talking about people you don't even think about. You've never said thank you. It's been years since you've expressed gratitude. Tonight, I'd like for God to use this sermon to bless the hearts of thousands of people all over this country. I haven't forgotten Tommy Ford and Faye Ford. I haven't forgotten Deacon Bussey, that little black fella at the St. Mary's Baptist Church, where I used to go out and preach on a Wednesday night. Haven't forgotten him. I can still see him swaying from side to side while I preach over here. Men over here, women over here. I can still see him swaying from side to side. All of a sudden standing up and swaying. And then coming out to the aisle. And the fellows behind him, that all the men were around this section here. And all the women got around this section here. I keep on preaching. And they'd start singing, "What could I do without the Lord? What could I do without the Lord?" I went out there for months after month after month. I've not forgotten Deacon Bussey. I've not forgotten, hey, look, you're not looking at a self-made man. You're looking at a man who's been blessed and helped and strengthened and encouraged and kept going by hundreds and hundreds of people. And I'm not going to be like the butler who was let out of prison and forgot Joseph who was in prison. I haven't forgotten F.P. Noll, chairman of my deacons in Texas. I haven't forgotten how he stood with me when our church was voted out of the Southern Baptist Convention. And like a rock of Gibraltar, that deacon chairman stood beside his preacher. 2 weeks ago, tomorrow, I helped bury that good man. The only man in my church in Texas I'd go back to participate in his funeral. I helped bury him 2 weeks ago, tomorrow. Haven't forgotten him. Miss Hiles and I went by to see him by his house. A year or so ago, we were there. Hardly ever went to Texas without trying to call F.P. Noll and say thank you. I haven't forgotten Ed Roush, how he stood with me through the years at First Baptist Church of Hammond. And you have no idea. If you're a student at Hiles Anderson College, ever were, ever will be, you owe a debt to Ed Roush. If you're a student in Hammond Baptist Schools, and ever have been, ever will be, you owe a debt to Ed Roush. And I'll tell you what, I don't know of anything any sorrier than for you young people to go to our Christian school. You hear me now. Teenagers, set up and shut up. I want to talk to you a minute. I don't know of anything any sorrier than for you to go to our schools and sit there in those classrooms built by somebody else who sacrificed to put those classrooms there and sit in those classrooms and get expelled from school or misbehave in school. What you ought to do is say, thank God for these buildings. They just didn't happen to be raised up there. They didn't grow out of the ground. Somebody labored and sacrificed to put those buildings there. May God give us a baptism of gratitude for all those who've been to us, blessing to us. Nor have I forgotten Ray Bordway, without whom this church would never be what it is, and one of the best friends I have in the world. I haven't forgotten Bill Gifford, John Penley, Lee Johnson, Blanford Duff, T.W. McCarroll, Wells Walker, Mel Graves, Leonard Tudor, and a host of other men who stood beside me for these 38 years I've been pastor of this church. How long has it been since you wrote Brother Wortley Unknown? Did you ever thank Ed Roush? Have you ever thought to thank these men who stood with the preacher? I mean through thick and thin, through victories and defeats, through sunshine and clouds, through laughter and through tears. I'd love to reach out tonight and tell you how selfish we really are. Like the butler, out of jail. Joseph was responsible for his being released from jail. I'll speak a good word. Gets out of jail. Forgets the man that got him out of jail. You've forgotten the person that got you saved. You've forgotten the nursery keeper that took care of you in the nursery. You've forgotten the beginner superintendent and teacher you had in the primary department. You've forgotten the junior teacher. You've forgotten your high school teacher, your junior high teacher. You've forgotten your school teachers. Bless God tonight. Get right with God and remember those that made you what you are. Many Nalls and Roushes and Fords and Eves, Bordways and Wood Armstrongs sit in lonely rooms tonight. You have no idea what one little letter would mean to them. An old preacher. I was preaching in a distant state. An old preacher pastors about 25 people, but he's given his life to those people. He came to hear me preach. He had one student in our college, that's all. After I got through preaching that Monday night, he walked up to the platform and said, "Dr. House, I want to show you something." Old country preacher. Split his infinitives, hung his gerunds, dangled his participles. Said, "I have saw and I seen, I have done, I did." Old Dr. Bob Jones, you said to the fellow, say, "I have saw that, I seen that seen something." And the fellow, "I have seen, ain't seen nothing." This old preacher came to me. He said, "Look here." He said, "This is for my college student that's in your church." He said, "Dear Pastor, Brother Howells is good, but you're better." Boy, he tickled me under my arm. Yeah. "You think you're so hot. My students has heard both of us, and she thinks I'm better." And bless God, every preacher in this country ought to have that right. And he would, if some of you would stop and say, "Thank you." You're like the pig that apple hit him on the tree, never looked up to see where it came from. Somebody helped you get saved. Somebody taught you the Bible. Hey, somebody even fed some of you. And somebody taught you in Sunday school. And somebody taught you in a Christian school. I'm saying, why don't you quit being like the ungrateful butler and get right with God and say thank you and write some notes and make some phone calls and visits. I haven't forgotten Uncle Roy. My favorite uncle. Close to my mother. Honest farmer. Didn't have any insurance on his crop. His crop insurance was the living God. Little 40 acres, that's all he had. That's less than half what we have at Howells Anderson College. That's a little bit more than we have at Hammond Baptist School. 40 acres. Reared 2 children in that 40 acres. Had a garden. We'd go down every summer. I'd pick cotton for him. That's where I became a cotton picking preacher. I'd pick cotton for him. Before he passed away, he had a heart attack when he was my age. Before he passed away, I took a special trip and drove about 50 miles, 100 miles round trip. Went in that little private room where nobody was but Uncle Roy. And I said, "Uncle Roy, I want to tell you some of the happiest days of my life were spent down here. I remember Aunt Octave's All Good Pie. Remember that, Elaine?" "You don't remember that. You don't remember anything. At your age, you don't even know who your brother is." The other day, I was trying to think of a name. I walked up to Ms. Howells. I said, "I'm trying to think of a name." I said, "What's that tree that we have one in our yard? And one is at some at the college, in the park out at the college. Name that name." She said, "Beverly Tree?" "Yeah." I said, "Beverly, what's the name I'm trying to think of right now?" You didn't get that, did you? I hope you get old someday and I'm your age. I won't laugh at you when you say something funny either. Haven't forgotten Uncle Harvey. The man who influenced my personality more than any other living man. My multimillionaire uncle, who said he had no friends he knew of for sure because he was rich. And I said, Uncle, take me out if you will. I want you to know you got one friend. He did it. He thought I was serious. He took me out of his will. Dad didn't leave me a dime. I haven't forgotten, Uncle. I haven't forgotten, Uncle Harvey. You mark it down. I'll be up there one of these days. I haven't forgotten the day we couldn't borrow any money at Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland. Just a young church. Went there, we had 44, the first anniversary. Without any buses ever, we had 617. Second anniversary, 1180. All drive-in. Third anniversary, 2212. Fourth anniversary, 3163. Couldn't find money to build a building. Uncle Harvey called me and said, Son, I understand you're having a hard time finding money to build yourself a building. And I said, Yes, we are, Uncle. He said, I'll go on your note. My Uncle Harvey, and by the way, he was married to my mother's sister. He married into our family. He went down to the Republic National Bank in Dallas and signed a note for a brand new auditorium for the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. I haven't forgotten him. Went to see him every time I was in Texas till he went to heaven. Haven't forgotten Uncle Harvey. Haven't forgotten Mr. Tamke, my coach. One of the finest men ever met. I was home in Texas and stopped by on South Marsalis Street, a corner house there. Went up a few years ago, knocked on the door, and somebody came to the door. I said, Does Mr. Tamke live here? This older man came to the door about 90 years of age. He said, Yes, may I help you? I said, You know who I am? He said, I don't know who you are. I said, My name is Jack Iles. I was pitcher on your ball team. Mr. Tamke broke out in tears and began to reach out. He, an old 90-year-old man, a strong man when he was young, athletic man. He hugged me and said, Jack, I didn't know you remembered me. I didn't know you remembered me. I wonder how many people would cry with tears of joy if you'd just drop by their house. I think of some of these teachers up here, Mrs. Snyder. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of you who sat in her Sunday school class. How many years? 74 years she's been teaching. 84? How many years? 50 years teaching. I wonder how many letters she's gotten. You don't give a flip. All you're concerned about is I, me, mine. I got news for you. Somebody made you what you are. I've not forgotten Mrs. Aduddle. I've tried to, but I haven't. She was my English teacher in high school. I've told about her before. Tell about her again. 6'4", 225 pounds. Played tight end with the Dallas Cowboys in the wintertime. She invented ugly. Ugliest woman I ever saw. You cut her nose off, it could be a weed whacker for your front yard. She had to have her arms lengthened to brush her buck teeth. She taught me English grammar. She taught me how to conjugate a sentence. She taught me the tenses. I didn't know I'd someday be a preacher. And I say this very kindly. You'll have a pretty tough time finding a grammatical mistake in my sermons. That's an English teacher said amen down here. You'll have a pretty tough time. I'm not a whiz at it, but I know English grammar. I did not know that I'd be writing 43 books in those days. I did not know I'd be preaching to thousands of people. I didn't know I'd be preaching around the world and around this great nation. Thank God for Mrs. O'Donnell. Wrote her a letter not long ago. She's my poetry teacher. I never liked English literature. I just never did. Now, you English teachers, I don't care if you like it or not. You get mad at me, English teacher, I'll fire you. As far as I'm concerned, they can take Beowulf and let the wolves have it. They can take the lady of the lake and kick her in the lake, as far as I'm concerned. I like the woman at the well a lot better than lady of the lake. But, oh, she loved that poetry. I was telling the folks at the Educators Convention. She'd walk in. She'd say, "Oh, boys and girls, guess who we're studying today?"
"Who?"
"Chaucer." "We're going to study the cups too, or just the Chaucer?" She'd say, "Listen to this. Listen to these immortal words. Von dat er pretty witty short of sote. The draught of March is pierced to the rote, and bothered every vein in speech to occur." Ain't a word in there. She said, "Listen to those words." No words in there. Ah. We'd say, "Ah." She'd say the next day, she'd come in, "Boys and girls, guess whom we're studying today?" "Who?" "Babe Ruth." "William Cullen Bryant." "Who do you play for?" "Listen to this. So live that when thy summons comes to join that innumerable caravan that sweeps to the endless portals of death, who thou not as the quarry slave at night surged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed in unfaltering trust, approach thy grave as one who wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams." I loved her English grammar, but not her English literature. Wrote her a letter a few years ago. "Dear Mrs. Duddle, I want to thank you for all you meant to me. You taught me how to conjugate sentences, the tenses, the verbs, the gerunds and the adverbs, all that stuff. I want to thank you for it." Guess what you did? Sent me back a book of English literature. You know those books will burn, I found out. But I haven't forgotten Mr. Duddle. And by the way, that big old muscle-bound guy looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger with a uglier face. She wrote me back a tender letter, and she said, "Hardly anybody ever remembers. Hardly anybody ever remembers. But I can tell you some folks that deserve it more than that. Those teachers out there at Hammond Baptist Schools that make a poverty less than a poverty wage. Drive old cars. Wear hand-me-down clothes. For some of you ungrateful punks to make fun of. For some of you ungrateful punks to criticize." You sit out there in the class. Listen, I'm not kidding you. Sit there in that classroom and give your teacher some trouble. And one reason I'm preaching this tonight is every single a child and junior higher and a high schooler in this room tonight ought to get right with God before school starts and go out there and obey your teacher and behave yourself in class and not get a bunch of stinking demerits and live like you ought to live. I haven't forgotten Mrs. Sharp, my first grade teacher, and she's heard from me several times. I haven't forgotten Mrs. Durham, who taught me algebra in junior high. Haven't forgotten Mr. Smith, who was my basketball coach. Big old fellow, about 6'4", giant fellow, big old feet. Haven't forgotten him. And I have not called a name tonight whom I have not written or gone to see or called on the telephone more than once to say thank you. The butler forgot Joseph. I haven't forgotten my mother. You know that. I haven't forgotten those hands that were red from working in the hot water in a lunchroom in a public school making $2 a day, 50 cents a day. I haven't forgotten the nights that my mother came home so tired she could hardly stand up. Had to clean a little cottage, a little shack, and wash the clothes and make the beds and cook a bite to eat and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go start the same thing. I haven't forgotten that. I haven't forgotten the fact that my mother went for years without any teeth. I mean, not a tooth in her head. Her teeth had turned so black they looked like coal, teeth made out of coal. I haven't forgotten how she was 40 years of age before she could afford to get a set of false teeth. I haven't forgotten how she took beatings from my dad. I haven't forgotten how she took the Bible and taught me about Jesus and taught me about the Bible. haven't forgotten my mama. Haven't forgotten my mama. Most of all, I haven't forgotten my Savior, who left heaven, came to earth, lived for 33 homesick years. Foxes had their holes. Birds had their nests, but my Savior had no place to lay his head. Excommunicated from his own synagogue, kicked out of his hometown, hated by his own creation, crucified by his own race, dipped his own soul into hell. Haven't forgotten my Savior. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten? Your Sunday school teachers? Your pastor? I'm talking about myself. I'm baptized with affection and love and appreciation and notes and letters. I'm not talking about myself. I'm not talking about a man that preached to thousands of people every Sunday morning and every Sunday. I'm talking about those that preached to dozens. Some of you college students, you're so wrapped up in what's here, you've forgotten what brought you, what sent you here. How long has it been? I want tonight hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe several thousand people, to get some little notes of cheer. I want Mr. Tamkis to be called and written. I want Mrs. Bethos to be called and written. I want Brother Sizemores and Wood Armstrongs and F.P. Nalls. I want them to be written. I want some of you, hey, some of you never tell your mother you love her. Never. Never. If she says, I love you, you miss her too. Oh, shut up. You ought to walk up to your mother. He said, well, she's not what she ought to be. Well, you're not the second coming of John the Baptist yourself. Now, you listen to me. Often, you ought to walk up to that mother and say, Mama, I thank you that you carried me and suffered for 9 months and then delivered me from the jaws of death to give me life from your own life. I thank you fed me when nobody else would feed me. Before I could feed myself, you fed me. I'm going to preach a while. Some of you ungrateful teenagers, now you listen carefully to what I'm going to say. You want to run off from home. Well, go on. It'll help your family. But you ought to be horsewhipped. You say, I'll turn you into the welfare department. They ought to be horsewhipped too. But your folks more concerned about the safety of chickens than they are salvation of children. The honest, simple truth is, you teenagers, now you listen to me. I won't ever hey, shut up and listen to me over here. Listen to me. That daddy of yours has left home every morning before sunup. Going out and worked in some cases with a hammer in his hand, in some cases a blast furnace. He's gone out and come home and he's brought the food on your table and you sat there like a pig, ungrateful pig, and you've eaten your daddy's food. You've lived in a house that which he paid the rent or the payments. And you have clothes on your back because your mom and dad got clothes to put on your back. Then you say, I want to be on my own. God have mercy on your wicked soul. I said, God have mercy on your wicked soul. Every once in a while, some parent will come in and say, we don't know what to do with our 15-year-old daughter. I got more respect for a pimp than you teenage girls that think you're smarter than your mama. Almost every week, somebody calls me and says, our daughter, our son, has left home and run off. You sorry, good-for-nothing scoundrel. You ought to thank God somebody fed you and clothed you and housed you and loved you when you couldn't feed or clothe yourself or house yourself, and you owe them a debt that you will never repay, but by the grace of God, you ought to try to repay it. A lot of people tonight forgotten. Picture Joseph. Picture him. In jail. in a foreign country. Nobody speaking for him. And there's that ungrateful butler who has access to the king, who promised Joseph that he would speak a word for him and help him get his release. The Bible says, and I read it for you again, yet did the chief butler remember, did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Got a lot of butlers here tonight, don't we? A lot of teenage butlers. A lot of children butlers. Some of you folks have moms and dads that are forgotten in rest homes. I'm not saying it's always wrong to put a lady in a rest home, but most of y'all do what that gal right there did on the front row. Her mother lived in our house for 12 years. She changed her diapers for years and bathed her own mother for years. Why? I'll tell you why. Her mother gave birth to her. That's why. The butler remembered not Joseph, but forgot Joseph. Check yourself tonight. Are you the butler? Our Heavenly Father, I stood tonight representing a lot of people who will never see the outdoors again. Tonight I represented people that live in rest homes, exiled to sick rooms. I've represented people tonight whose sky is a ceiling, whose horizon is a wall, whose sun, moon, and stars are a light bulb, whose earth is the floor of a house. And the next time they leave that house, a hearse will take them to the cemetery. Forgotten, just like Joseph was.